Hello and welcome to another edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. My focus of attention this week is a real Donegal success story. I'll be finding out how two brothers started out selling bobble hats to local sports teams and who are now presiding over an expanding and thriving business that is employing more than 30 people in Balbuffet and which is also manufacturing as well as importing. O'Reilly Sports is run by brothers Martin and Stephen O'Reilly. Martin, a noted Gaelic footballer, trained as a primary school teacher in Colostra Wirra in Merino in Dublin and also completed a Master's in Education and Leadership in Queen's University, Belfast. But he took time out of his teaching career to take a leap of faith and to go into the business. Stephen, a multiple national boxing champion, was an undergraduate of what was then known as Letterkenny IT and the University of Limerick before he became a PE teacher. Their passion for sport, accompanied by the dream of running their own business, led to the birth of O'Reilly Sports. So, from those humble beginnings of those bobble hats, much has happened. At the end of last year, they opened their new premises in what many years ago was the old Herdman's Linen Factory in Balbuffet. And so a textile manufacturing tradition is getting a whole new lease of life once again. More than €2 million has been invested in the wonderfully modern, impressive, renovated and rebuilt structure at the Northern Point Business Centre in Sechonville, just outside Balbuffet. And it also houses a striking new shop with an extensive range of their sportswear and leisurewear products. Well, I recently paid a visit to them to find out all about their business journey to date, how they are continuing to expand, and their plans for the future. Martin, great to be over here in Balbuffet, and looking around, we're going to see much more about your premises. But let's just go back in time, how this whole business started. Where did the seed get sown originally?
Well, Chris, first of all, you're very welcome here. How it started was 2017, myself and Stephen, we were both teaching at the time. We just, I suppose, came up, we were both heavily involved in sport, looking at different kind of competitors out there, thinking there might be an opportunity out there. And the two of us, we started off with bobble hats, very simple, just putting a club crest and bobble hat. And maybe a month later, clubs were asking, do you do jerseys? And we said no. We were kind of resisting to go into the clothing. And then as a result, four or five different requests, we said, you know what, we can do it. And we started going into jerseys, dipping our toes into jerseys and half-sips, and here we are now. Yeah.
And the original bobble hats, just did you get a sample order in, and how did it take off?
So it was a really, really funny story, actually. I was teaching in Dublin at the time, and I was very fortunate to play with Donegal, and every weekend Kieran Murphy, a glove supplier in Tyrone, used to post them out to us as a gift. But every time then, top of the box, he would always fire in a couple of gifts. So there's bobble hats into it. And just at that time, one of the teachers in the school says to me, look at Martin, do you know anyone that puts a club crest in the bobble hat? And I said, geez, I don't know, but let me find out. And send a message over to Kieran and said, do you know anyone that does bobble hats? And he says, yeah, you do. And literally within a few minutes, I got a message at the time. It was actually Pakistan. We got a message. This lad says, look, I hear you're looking for bobble hats. And that's it.
So that was the beginning. Stephen, did Martin consult with you much? I mean, were you drawn in from the beginning?
I seem to always get drawn into something. But no, I suppose when that happened then, we kind of started to grow because we were so heavily involved in sports that we both had a background. There were different clubs asking, and then I was saying to Martin, can you get me a few bobble hats for this club or that club? And then, as Martin said, it just started to develop over time where more and more people were asking for different products. And I suppose we just took a chance then, was going a wee bit deeper into clothing then.
And Martin, at what stage did you think, well, maybe I'm going to give up this teaching career? Because that was a big, big decision.
I suppose it was probably 2018. I think it was. Myself and Stephen were dipping our toes in, as we said. And look, at he had family. He was in the middle of building a house at the time and had a mortgage. I had no commitments at all, really, for that part. So I said that I would go first to take a career break for the first year to see if we could make it work. Anytime that Stephen had off, obviously the summer holidays, he came in then and got us started. So it was really the first year, 2018, that we gave it a proper rattle. And then obviously 2019, Stephen came on board and it accelerated then. So the two of us have been at it since then. But that was kind of, it was a strategic approach rather than the two of us leaving our jobs full-time teaching, that I said I would give it a go. So it was just, that's how we ended where we're at.
And what about market research? Did you spend a lot of time looking at the market?
Not really. Looking back now, you know, people talk about failing to plan, planning to fail and stuff like that there. But no, we probably just, it was kind of the request that we got, it was like rather, you know, we couldn't believe that so many people were looking for jerseys and stuff like that. It never really transpired that there was only one or two people making this available in the country at the time. I know now there's quite a lot. Even in Donegal, there's probably three or four different suppliers. But at that moment, probably O'Neill's were the market leaders, and there were few and far between after that. So it really, that's how it grew so quickly in the beginning.
And fair to say, Stephen, that over the last decade, you know, years ago, clubs might have had limited merchandise. Now, for every club, nearly no matter what size it is, it's an important income stream as well.
Absolutely. Look, most clubs now are using clothing as their identity, and they're also using it as fundraisers, and that's something that we've really tried to emphasise to clubs, that like, we're here to kind of take the stress away, hopefully give financial backing to the club, and, you know, just put that platform and that structure in place that, you know, I suppose years ago as well, it was so much hassle. Then, you know, you're going, you're placing an order, you're waiting 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks for it to arrive. Some of the stuff was coming wrong, you know, and the club members then were kind of getting onto the executives and the boards and on their back. But we've tried to take that stress away from them, and we try to deal with that in-house, that we're direct linked to the customer more so than actually the club having the, or even like many clubs that we deal with, they used to have to stock a load of, like, 10, 15 grand orders, and then they're left with bad sizes, while we kind of take that away from them and customise everything and send out to the customer. So yeah, it's definitely their identity now and their aspect of fundraising, so it's great for us in that sense as well.
And Martin, your own background in GA, obviously that was a big plus point.
Absolutely. I think, you know, probably, you know, when you were going around, you were doing kind of presentation, metal presentations. I used to always do like the cool camp and things like that there. And, you know, it always got you in the door. It didn't guarantee you an order, but, it, you know, you might have had a connection, someone you coached along with. And at the time as well, as I think we were very fortunate, you know, when you go to convoy with the Donegal team on a Thursday night, you have somebody going to every single part of Donegal. You know, if it's Buncrana, Keelan McGonigal, or lads going to Kilcare, Ryan McHugh, them boys took boxes in the beginning to us, you know. And there was also Brenton McCall, who's now our sales manager, used to be up and down the road to Dublin time to college. So we were very fortunate with that network, and no more with Stephen in the boxing, like he got into boxing contacts and stuff like that. So we were very, very fortunate with the contacts that we built up through sport, and we're very grateful for that as well.
And just on that, Stephen, so you had Gaelic games, you had boxing. Was it the plan from the word go to really try every sport?
I suppose it just happened naturally. You know, we, as Martin said, we didn't really have a plan. We just wanted to supply the best quality garments that we could, because we've often said, like, people will give you one chance, but if you don't take that chance and don't deliver well, they'll not give you a second chance. So, like, we didn't really target, I suppose, boxing and Gaelic was our, the doors were open easier. But other sports was that wee bit harder to break in. But, like, you know, based in Balfour here, like, we're really backed by this community. You know, without our local clubs, like, we actually wouldn't be here, because they're the first ones to give us a chance. You know, we had McCool's, Balfour United, Capri, Raffoe Town Boxing Club, you know, one of their first couple of orders that we've got. And, you know, now it's just grew from that, and every club, I suppose, has the confidence us to deliver. And I suppose by default we kind of explored every sport, but initially we were probably focusing on the boxing and the GA initially. Yeah.
And Martin, people in Donegal sort of stick together. There's that great belief in supporting one another. So that was a big factor as well.
Absolutely. I think it's really since we got involved in business just to see it. You know, people, what really is remarkable is the support of Donegal people all throughout Ireland alone. Like, we have people involved in clubs, say, just thinking of Sally Ann Cherry's, heavily involved in Railway Union. You know, people are always putting us to the forefront of discussions, no more than all the lads in America. You know, we have Donegal in New York, Donegal Boston, teams in Philadelphia, things like that. We're really blessed that Donegal people are putting us at the forefront of discussions and really being great ambassadors for us, and we're always very thankful of that too.
Now tell me, at the very beginning, Martin, when you were looking at sourcing products, or do you manufacture them yourself, how did you weigh all that up?
We were importing quite a majority. We looked at a couple of different countries. China, extremely high quality, but had large minimum order quantities. Pakistan was probably more of a stepping stone for us at the beginning. We were very fortunate enough, after 2 years, we were able to kind of partnership with a factory out there that gave us exclusive rights. So that was really good. And ultimately, it's nearly turned full circle now in the last 2 months that we're manufacturing here in Balbuffet. And just, I think it's good. You know, we have probably the guts of 32, 33 staff here now. And, you know, with ongoing, like at one stage, Chris, during the summer, there was issues between Pakistan and India. And, you know, that there, you have to understand that, you know, that there's a lot of people in our company maybe paying mortgages and families, stuff like that, that we felt we had to take stuff into our own control. And now with that there, production facility here in Balbuffet with embroidery, the printing, the jerseys, that, you know, has taken it back into our own hands.
So, Stephen, having that control gives you, I suppose, more flexibility as well.
Absolutely. I suppose I'm a big man on the control aspect. Like, you know, I think from day one, even when we were working at different factories in China and Pakistan and Turkey and different places, you know, we never really had control. And that's why I remember we flew home from Pakistan in 2019. I said to Martin on the flight on the way back, like, the only way we'll really be successful if we control all the elements. So then we reached out to another person that we were involved with at the time, and we opened up the partnership in Pakistan with this fella. But like, it allowed us to control the fabrics, the zips, you know, the threads. We're bringing them from different countries, while most people buying out of these countries are actually just kind of supplying what they're supplied by the manufacturer. But while we had that control, you know, so we started to kind of pinpoint where the best zip supplier was in the world, where the best thread supplier was, you know. So with that research supposed to be done back then, now we can follow that in here to Balbuffet. But as Martin said, like, it's really, now we can control things here. You know, we're still dependent on DHL flights. You know, we're so many different variables that was impacting us throughout, you know, the many years. Well, now we have the fabric here. You know, we have incredible staff. Like, the talent that's in the local area is unbelievable, you know, between stitchers and designers, and even in terms of like sales staff and, you know, admin staff. It's, we're, no, we're blessed. Like, we, so essentially now, yeah, we get to control them elements, and that's something that we've strived to kind of do all along. I think once it's in your control, then it's here in Balbuffet, we can do anything. If you need a set of jerseys for tomorrow, you know, we can do them today, you know. So that's kind of the aspect of it.
And Martin, when you look back, you weren't that long in business before COVID hit. So I suppose initially there were big fears. So how did that pan out for you?
Absolutely. And there was, you know, because it was just, I remember this day, Stephen will tell you, like, we put quite a bit of money into the factory in Pakistan on like the 13th of March, 2020. And then the schools were closed at St. Patrick's kind of 16th, 17th of March, 2020. So it was real, you talk about bad timing. That was ultimately the case. But you know what? We adapted, we pivoted and says, right, what is people going to wear? Because schools were closing, teams were closing, businesses were closing. So we thought, you know what? People were wearing leggings and leisure wear, and that's where the second company, Bally Clothing, was formed then. It was kind of just set up in the middle of COVID. So we've been very, very, very lucky that now we ended up with two very good companies out of the COVID. So we used it probably as a positive. But there definitely was moments that was worrying when you're wondering when our school is going to be back and when our team's going to be back, because ultimately that was the core of our business, Chris.
And yet, for many, it was a blessing in disguise, because it drove an awful lot of people online.
It drove it. It actually, I remember talking to Grace Carble, and I think, you know, the DLDC and the local enterprise office, you know, deserve like huge commendation, because they were so supportive to us when we really needed it most. I often find that people are very supportive when things are going well, but, you know, when we were very, very new in our infancy, we got great support. But just that, I remember saying to Grace, sure, we will never need a website, like, and now, you know, it's so how it turned full circle that I never envisaged at the time, Chris, that we could sell clothing online, while now it's 30-40% of our business is going all around Ireland.
And in the early days when you were expanding, cash flow is so important in any business. And then as you have to increase your orders, was there a struggle at times to get more investment? Did you have to get loans? How did you fund all that expansion?
I think the one thing, Stephen alluded to it maybe better than me, but the one thing that we never did was we never took on anything that we weren't able to afford to. You know, it was baby steps. And people come to me now looking for advice, and I'm certainly not one or Stephen to give any advice, but we always tell people is, you know, to dip your toes in. You know, he was teaching at the time, he had a salary coming in. I was still substituting the odd day just to keep money coming in, but we never ever put ourselves at risk in terms of, you know, over borrowing or anything like that there. We just, anything we had, we tried to make the most of it in that regard. So I think that's one bit of advice I always tell people is, like, you know, people come and say, I'm thinking about buying 10,000 of equipment, and I'm saying, like, is there a second hand one you could buy first? Is there one you could use and outsource maybe to begin with, as opposed to going head first in? So I think it's always very important to really dip your toes in to make sure it works, and once you know it's working, then to really double down on it. But that's definitely what I would be saying. I think that, Steve, would you agree, Steve, in fairness?
Absolutely. Like, I suppose every decision we made was fairly calculated. You know, we never wanted to put ourselves in financial difficulty, or we never wanted really to be in that position where we had to take on financial support. You know, so everything we've done, we've kind of done it ourselves. But as Martin said, like, every, we've dipped our toes in, like, a lot of things, and, like, not everything has worked. You know, we were lucky in some instances that we dipped our toes, because if we went in head first, you know, we'd made a lot of money. You know, I suppose even now, just this year recently, we've started to do stock garments where we're, you know, we're bulk making stuff, bringing it in, and have a facility available for customers to buy 24/7. While before this, we were very heavily relying on, like, pre-orders. You know, while moving forward, we have this second option. You know, because now all of a sudden we can make jerseys here, you know, with our hats, with our hoodies, we can supply a full team range within 24 hours. You know, so as Martin said, like, everything's probably calculated, and that's probably, as Martin says, the little bit of advice that you would give is that just, you know, take step by step. You know, it's probably not trying to bite off more than you can chew in one go. And look, it's good to us. It's not saying it's right, because obviously some businesses need investment, you know, to grow and to accelerate at the rate probably that we've done without it, and we've been fortunate that we didn't need that investment. But no, definitely it's, look, we calculate everything very well. And no, we don't take any chances. And we kind of try and take the right move at the right time, you know, and it's not, you know, by chance really that, you know, we haven't been involved, because everything we've done kind of really well if we can at all.
Martin, tell me about your first premises. Where did it all start off as such?
So our first premises was actually in our parents' house in Drumbow. You know, the boxes would come in, we'd sort and pack, and I still now have a nightmare sometimes thinking of, you know, it was really a luck. You know, you used to take out of the box and you were hoping there was 28 tops and there might be 26, you know, and now things that we'd take totally for granted was in the rarity at that stage. Then we kind of, so the first proper premises we got was at the back of Alexander's shop in Balbuffet, and to Joe Alexander and Paul Murphy, who supported us. As I said, you know, I have such great respect for people who give you a chance when you're only starting off. It's very easy when things are going well and people want to be associated for one reason or another at that stage. But when we were really, really new, they gave us every chance to get us set up. So that was our first premises down there. And then a building came up in Herdsman's in Balbuffet. There was a man in Balbuffet who owned the factory and was more than happy to help us. And, you know, after a lot of money and a lot of renovation, here we are now. We're blessed to have what we have, but it was a lot of hard work. And to be fair to Stephen, he drove nearly all of it, you know, getting people in order. I wouldn't be very good at the construction work, but he was super, so he was.
So you opened the new premises towards the end of last year. We're upstairs now, so tell us what you have up here.
So just on the left we have a marketing office with IT, and then on the other side we have the sales team, so they look after kind of all inbound and outbound inquiries. And then moving on down we have kind of the accounts office, and then on the left we have a kind of showroom as well. The customers come in, we take them in along with the boardroom up the front. So, and then Stephen will tell you now the probably the most popular part of the building is down here, Chris, just to show you.
So, for our staff, we thought we'd bring in, like, just a wee kind of leisure breakout area. And, you know, it's been the best thing we've brought in. We've brought in a pool table, a dartboard, a TV. You know, so just when it's a wee bit stressful or people's under pressure, it gives them that couple of minutes just to go out, throw a few darts at break time, at lunchtime, you know, go out and just enjoy it, take your stress and take your mind off the kind of work. And to be honest with you, you know, we were kind of told at the time not to put it in by numerous business people. But being honest, it's been the best thing we put in. You know, it really, like, I couldn't recommend it high enough. And, you know, we're very lucky that our staff are disciplined too, that, like, when it comes to the end of break or end of lunch, they just pack up and head back to work. It's not dragging on 10, 15 minutes, like, you know. But no, that's been a massive positive, you know, in the whole organisation as well.
And it's a very striking interior, black and white, or do you call it anthracite? I'm not sure the colour. But very, very modern. And what's amazing is where we are standing here, this time last year, it was quite a different place.
Absolutely. Look, whenever we moved in here, it was only a single-storey building. You know, we actually had to take away the trusses, increase the head height in the building to allow a second floor. So, like, we were weeks and weeks cutting out different piping and girders and beams out of the roof. But I suppose myself and Martin had a very clear vision from the start. You know, even how it would look, even like the colour scheme, you know, the small details, like we put in this this glass partition around the whole length of the hallway, and when we put it in first, you know, we just weren't happy with certain aspects of it. Like, so between a couple of good tradesmen, they kind of helped us out, and they took it out and they patched it up and they put it on better, you know. But yeah, I think we had a very, very clear vision from the start of how we wanted the whole building to look. And to be honest with you, it's turned out pretty much exactly how it was meant to be, you know. But as you say, this was never here. You know, our full second story, it's doubled our capacity. And then there was another wee bit out the back that's extra that we added a third floor to that. But it took a wee bit of work and it took a wee bit of stress. But we're here today, sure, and we're delighted and we're grateful to be here.
And Martin, it must give you great satisfaction, because there's a lot of history about where we're standing here. This was a major employer years ago. Then it was pretty much left just sitting there, and now you're employing people here once again.
Absolutely, and it's something, you know, we don't take for granted in terms of bringing employment back to Balbafay, especially within the kind of the clothing and the textile, because, you know, Balbafay was synonymous with, you know, in terms of Nina Models, and here in the building that we're in with Herdsman's, you know, because so many people that you never imagined used to work here. And we're working on a thing at the minute now that will bring everybody together at some stage or another. But there's a huge amount of history, and we do have some kind of memorabilia as well that we want to get up when the time is right, just in terms of like old plans and different stuff off the building, stories. There was the Workers Information Act in like 1968 or something as well. We've had framed to get it up as well. So there's a huge sense of nearly nostalgia in here as well in terms of production. So we're really looking forward to getting back at it.
And the dartboard over here, word on that?
Well, Stephen got 180 yesterday, so he's the man to talk about the darts.
No, as I say, the dartboard's been incredible. Look, the pool table, the dartboard. I think it's actually a release that just, like, all of us need. You know, myself, Martin, all the guys, you know, everyone's just so grateful, I suppose, to have that there. And I know it is a running joke in here, you know, the dartboard or the pool table, but it's brilliant. As I said earlier, it's probably one of the best things to put on here.
So we've moved into the embroidery room. So, Stephen, tell me, what's exactly happening here?
Look, I suppose in here is where we do all our embroidery. We have roughly 20 heads embroidery machine. So, like, in here, really and truly, is where just the finishing aspects of the garments. So whenever they're made and they're finished up, then we're bringing them in here. We're doing all the logos, the crest, the initials, all in print. You know, any aspect that you can see of a design on a garment, we can do it here now. And that goes back to the whole control aspect, where we bought all the machinery, you know, whether it be printing, embroidery, you know, any aspect that you need going on your top, we can do it here.
So people have the graphic, they send it through to you, it's all on computer now, and then we see it, the stitching going away here at a really fast rate, so you can churn out quite a lot.
Absolutely. You know, as you just said there, like, people are sending us PDFs, sending us images. We're converting them into files that are print ready, whether they be DSD files for embroidery or print ready files. And then, you know, we're doing a couple of million stitches a week in embroidery, and we're doing, you know, a couple of thousand t-shirts or tops or hoodies in print a week. So we're blessed that we have that capacity now, that, you know, nothing's really a bother. And, you know, I know sometimes we'll be under pressure for time constraints. The different club might be in a final, or, you know, a school event that's on, but we're just blessed now that we have that, you know, that luxury of doing it here.
And Martin, I take it you can pretty much do any colour that any club has, and some colours might be quite specific to certain clubs.
Well, that's it exactly, and some clubs are very, very specific and I think a real sense of pride in their colour. So as you see here, there's 16 different colour stools on that there. They're all interchangeable. As you see behind us as well, we have, there's 50, 60 different colours in terms of greens and blues and everything. So any colour that a club might want, you know, we can certainly get it in for them. So there's no issue over that either.
And back to the whole work environment, a very, very clean, spacious office for people to be working in.
Absolutely, and we try, look, we've started, you know, the lean element of that there across the company. We keep everything really tidy, you know, make it accessible for everybody. And our productivity, Stephen will tell you, has went up 20-25% in the last number of months since moving to the new place. So it's in the benefit of everyone. It's the staff are having more fun, they're enjoying it. Obviously, there's more productivity and it works better from a business point of view as well. So I think it works well for everyone.
And Stephen, is it a 5-day or a 7-day operation, or can you fluctuate depending on the time of year even?
I suppose you can. Look, you're never off. That's probably the one thing. But, you know, as we grew, it's nearly got a little bit easier. As I just said earlier on, we've been blessed with our staff. You know, that people are picking up the responsibility, but it's never ending. You know, there's always something going on. I think any business person or anybody involved in kind of anything really will tell you that you're never off the clock. It could be, you know, but as you say, like, it definitely does. That period before Christmas is really intense. You know, we come through January, February, that little bit quieter. But I suppose when it's quieter, you're trying to improve. You know, as Martin said there, we brought that lean aspect into it now for the manufacturing side of things. And, you know, that has massively helped us. You know, as you can look around the building, it's completely spotless. You know, and everybody's doing a really good job on that. And that matters a lot to us as well.
You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore, and I'm speaking with Martin and Stephen O'Reilly about their business, O'Reilly's, the sports and leisurewear company based in Ballybuffet. Coming up, we'll continue the tour around their new premises, have a look at the great new shop, hear about their own Bally clothing brand, and how they have also won some big new orders recently. We're here now in the heart of the manufacturing hub, and it's great that you're doing it. You're providing the jobs here, state-of-the-art equipment, and going to be supplying so many local clubs, and indeed clubs all around the country and elsewhere.
Absolutely, and that has always been our plan. You know, as we said, we started off there with overseas manufacturing, and it was always kind of at the forefront that we'd take manufacturing back to Ballybuffet. So, and I think the goal for us is that if we have a local club, if it's Letterkenny or Ballybuffet, that they're more than welcome to come in and see their jersey being on the screen, onto the paper, onto the fabric, being stitched, and show the finished product. Because I think people really are amazed when they see the different elements, or how, because we even had a meeting last night down in Buncrana, and they said, how is jersey made? You know, people don't really understand. And look, it is intricate and we're really looking forward to it. But we have all the machinery here now and production's going well, and that's what, just to try to scale it up now as well, Chris.
And the actual raw materials, where do they come from?
So the paper and the fabrics come from Barcelona. So we've got a few different fabric mills that we're working. We're trying to just keep being innovative and keep changing the fabric. So some, as I say, comes from Barcelona, some comes from Spain, and a little bit from Portugal. And the paper, most of it comes from the same kind of supplier, sends all over it is.
And quality, of course, is key. And in terms of the retail price, people will pay that little bit extra if they're getting the really good quality as well.
Absolutely. Like, you know, quality is important. Like, and that's probably what we've tried to be base our business off. And look, don't get me wrong, it's clothing. There's going to be problems. Like, you know, we can send out a bad batch for any reason. Could be, you know, could not be right, or could not meet the standards that we expect from ourselves. But in the majority of cases, we really have a good and detailed quality control aspect. And as you say, like, people will pay that wee bit more, but we've really tried to kind of cut the cost on our side rather than, you know, inflate them on the customer side. So we're trying as best we can. And like, even with manufacturing here in Ballybuffet now, it's making it that wee bit harder. But I think for the longevity of the company, and you know, within your control, I think for the long term of the business, it'll be better.
And Martin, it's a very, very competitive market. Lots of people out there in the same business as you. So what do you see as your sort of competitive advantage or your unique selling point? Why are people coming to you? Is it that quality and backup service and sales?
I think it's a mix of the whole lot in terms of, you know, we're very lucky. We have great staff. I think, you know, we'd really try to put a huge sense of pride on our customer service that, you know, at any moment in time, you pick up the phone, you ring our number, you'll get a call. If the call happens during out, somebody will ring you back, I would imagine, in the next 30 minutes, you know, that kind of way. We're very proud. Well, if you go on to the bigger companies, like say Nike or Puma or Ulls, you know, different companies that you might struggle to get contact with, you know, that these, you know, major European companies, there's no real point of contact, so to speak. So we really pride ourselves. You pick up the phone, you send an Instagram message, a call, we get back to you. And we don't shy away. If there's problems or issues with any order, we're here, we fix it, and we move on. And that has always been what kind of how we've set up and how we plan to continue as well.
And Stephen, your actual market, is it purely sports related, or is there a leisure aspect, or is it, what are the boundaries?
Like, I don't think there are any boundaries. You know, on a day-to-day basis, we could get inquiries from absolutely anybody, any sport, any organisation, you know, from rugby to soccer to basketball to workwear, you know, darts, you know, it's endless, you know, and we try and fulfill whatever we can at the best, you know, quality. And if we can't do it, we'll point them in the direction of someone who can do that better, because we would rather do that and maybe work on developing that product for future down the line rather than supplying a product that's not good enough for that sport or that business or that organization. But to be honest with you, Chris, it's endless. You know, there's a lot of sports, a lot of organizations, a lot of societies. And like, it's the way the world's going now. I suppose everyone's trying to look more uniformal, more professional. And we're just trying to add to that. You know, if we can help any company or any business or any club kind of bring that professionalism to their company, we're delighted to do that.
And from the sales perspective, are you constantly out visiting people, calling to people? Do you tender for projects?
Like, we're always supposed on alert. We try not to be too pushy, I suppose. Like, people probably wouldn't even call us sales reps, really, and call our organisation. Like, we're more like facilitators, and we try and just provide the best service and the best. Like, the one thing we're supposed to, me and Martin are really big on, that we don't want people being like hounded and annoyed. I think if someone's ready to buy and someone's looking for something, they're going to buy it, you know. And I think sometimes you can be off-putting by being too heavy. So I suppose we just try and facilitate the customers as best we can, and if they're looking to buy, we'll definitely provide a good service and a good product.
And Martin, in many cases, I suspect getting the foot in the door is key. If you get business from some club, you hope the repeat order comes in, and then you could get it for years and years and years.
Absolutely, and repeat orders is key to any business. I think, you know, it's, once you're in the door, as you say, it's much more if you can manage it, maintain it, and try grow it. You know, I suppose there you think about different ways. We always talked about, say, the likes of Mayo. We started off with Irish United. We got the local GAA club, the tennis club, the boxing club. It started to come back into, it was different parts of Mayo, Westport with Chris. Same with Donegal. You get into these areas, pockets of Cork, and you start seeing then the a ripple effect. And that's kind of, we have an office down in Clonmel, so what has worked really well is we have different reps throughout Ireland at the minute, and you can very clearly see then when we go through at the end of the year kind of the impact that, as you say, but the kind of the word of mouth, you can have all the marketing, the Facebook and everything, but there's nothing like word of mouth, doing a good order and them telling someone else how good a job it is.
Stephen, I dare say the Donegal diaspora has been great too, because you've probably got orders all over the world.
Been incredible, you know. I suppose, like, that's probably the only word I could use is credible. We've Dubai, America, you know, all parts of America, you know, all across Europe, you know, Canada. We just had a call away another guy this morning in Canada who's looking to bring stuff out there. I think the Donegal people are really, really supportive in general. Like, I think when you go away, like myself and my wife and my family were in Boston at the start of the year, and, like, you know, the help and support that we got from the people from Donegal, and like it's hard to describe it, but they were so welcome, they were so willing to help. They were putting up different contacts, they were putting, you know, they're putting you in a position that you wouldn't get by yourself going out to these countries, like, and that's one thing that myself and Martin, and I suppose like our business really is based on, like, you know, local people, whether it be Irish people or Donegal people abroad, you know, that's kind of where we've developed it. And then I suppose this new event, or this big event that's happening in Philadelphia in March, you know, we've been working very closely with Kieran and the guys and the board of that there to bring O'Reilly's out there, and we're really excited to go out as kind of like one of the sponsors of the event. And
just to tell people, this event, there's a Gaelic football tournament, there's a business forum, there's a cultural aspect. It's bringing people from, well, all over the world to Philadelphia, big Donegal input, and you're involved in the sponsorship side of things, and no doubt you'll get some great leads out of it.
Absolutely. Look, we're providing all the leisure, all the teams, you know, we're fortunate to get that opportunity to provide that. And like, I think the event itself has just grew legs and became a really, really big event. And I think anyone who's abroad or anyone's close to Philadelphia should definitely try and make their way there, because like the effort that they've went to is second to none. You know, the amount of guest speakers, the business event, the sports events, you know, the societies, it's really incredible event, and it's testament to Donegal, Philadelphia, and the boys out there that are running it this year. I know there are other people involved in different clubs, so it's a testament to all of them for what they've done so far.
We're in the packing and dispatch area boxes here, and you've got some big, big orders recently.
Well, we have looked, you know, I suppose across, you know, most notable ones would be the likes of UCD, TUD, universities, ATU, Letterkenny. But this one here, all these boxes here are actually for the Garda College in Templemore. So that was a European tender that went out, and we're very fortunate to win that there. I think there was 11 different suppliers, and so it was really good. It was a huge boost of confidence for ourselves as a business that we're obviously doing some things that are right. So it was great to get that there. There's 4,500 pieces that have to be delivered next week. So in essence, that's going to be the trainee guards that go to Templemore will get their uniforms on the first day. This will be their leisure uniform. So we're very lucky to do that there in bits for the Army. So we're very blessed with these kind of clubs and contracts that we've got.
And Stephen, the building here, it's really taking shape. Big investment, a lot of money's gone into it.
Massive, Chris. You know, I suppose when we started off first, we never thought it would go to where it is. You know, like, we've probably over 2 million invested in it here now, and in the grand scheme of things, like, with the help and the, you know, the people that we've had involved, 3 to 3.5 million, and it was a contractor, mightn't even look at it. You know, it's been, you know, it's definitely been something that's been exciting for us, because it just went step by step. And again, like, you know, we didn't take a chance on anything that wasn't right for us, because everything, if you've seen the building now today, like, in every kind of area plays a part. And I think with that area being perfect, the one thing myself and Martin are big on, that we do it right. If we're going to do it, like, we do it really, really well. And then if it works, well, we're grateful. And if it doesn't, well, like, we give it the best opportunity to work, because we don't really like taking corners. Because, you know, I suppose just from ourselves and our own sports now, I think if we do take corners, you're not going to really fulfil your potential. And that's both coming from a sports background, you know, and maybe a competitive background from the two of us, that's kind of where we've built our business from, is just doing things as right and as good as we possibly can. And that's why, you know, we did put in that investment of that much money. But ultimately, we think that'll repay itself over the... Well, it'll be a long time repaying, but over time and through the quality of garments that we can provide, we're hoping that the local community and the people of the wider field that receive our stuff, that we're grateful that they buy it, will see the quality. And, you know, now all of a sudden we're making right here in Balbuffet, and, you know, I know it's a big investment, but at the same time, it's what's right for the company at this time, and that's just, I don't think there's a price on that.
And Martin, the O'Reilly's logo, just the design of that, tell us about that.
Well, look, it's obviously, you know, Chris, our family name is something, you know, maybe just a chance to say a huge thank you to our parents, you know, Lena and Terry, and our sister Deirdre, that have been like an incredible support since we began. Like, when we started off, they were running with boxes left, right and centre, to staying up to 2 and 3 o'clock at night helping us sort parcels. So that we can't let that there slide as well. So huge thanks to them. But the O'Reilly's name, I think, you know, it comes with an element of pressure too when your own name is on it, that you really take things personal, Chris. And that's probably for good and for bad. You're not hiding behind a name that, say, someone doesn't actually know who the owners are. Our name is on every garment that goes out, and you really want it to arrive in a customer's hand at the best, you know, the level that they expected. And then obviously whenever things maybe don't go that way, you take it personal. But look, that's our name, and I think that has been the main reason we really drive it on. Is it's great to see. Like, I was in an airport there in Malaga one day, and a lad went past with, you know, an O'Reilly's top, and it was a huge sense of pride, and that's all you can ask for. And I think that's really helped us drove it on as well.
And Stephen, the website, hugely important, no doubt. You get a lot of traffic in it, O'ReillysOfficial.com, and orders from all over the world.
Absolutely. Like, you know, as Martin said, like, before COVID, we didn't have a website. We were kind of dabbling at it, and we didn't really think we'd need one. You know, now up to 50% of our business is through it, from all over the world. Like, you know, we have different dispatch areas down here. We have ones going to, like, all parts, either be worldwide, Europe or Ireland. You know, so every day there's an order coming from somewhere you least expect. It could be from Singapore to Dubai to America
Canada. It's incredible. Aye. And look, I suppose we're fortunate, as Martin said, about our staff down here as well. Like, they're so well organised that, you know, when a parcel goes out with great pride as well. And the guys sorting orders down here are very proud to send out that order in the best possible condition to wherever in the world it is.
And vital that when you're promoting the products, videos, photographs, again, getting the top quality and getting the message out there and showing what you have.
It is. And I suppose, like, it's the world we're living in that we're, I think every business has been forced to go down this route, that it's showcasing, know your products. And look, as we say, we don't always have great days here. And I suppose we showcase the best. And look, we're just fortunate as well that we do, when we do products well, we do them really well, and we have good products to showcase. And then we have a good social media team to back us up with them products.
Well, Martin, we are inside your recently opened retail premises. Really, really smart, really, really spacious, and a huge selection on offer.
I love it, Chris. You know, it's massive. It's probably five times the size of the warehouse shop we had in Back Lane in Balbafay. So, look, it's a great opportunity kind of to showcase our products, and, you know, it was a great hit, you know, before Christmas as well. So now's a chance just to really add things for the new year and try and make it into a real good shop, you know. So we're delighted with it. Absolutely delighted how it turned out.
We have a mixture. We've O'Reilly's branded items on the left here. We've got the Bally range on the right. So tell us a little bit about what's actually in the shop.
Aye, so look, as you say, people can come in and pick up kind of the leisure wear garments, the half-sups, body armors, O'Reilly's range with tracksuit bottoms. Then the Bally elements, as you know, the hoodies, the fleeces, the leggings, anything you like. Then accessories, obviously the bobble hats, snooties and things like that. And then the main thing is probably is all the accessories that people, you know, maybe instead of running further afield, they can pop into Balbafay, pick up a body warmer, pick up maybe if it's football gloves, footballs, wee treats, gifts for Christmas or you know, for birthday presents and stuff like that as well. That's very handy.
And the feedback has been hugely positive.
It's been absolutely brilliant. You know, we've got such great feedback. And as I said, we alluded to earlier, is like the support of local people is absolutely incredible. You know, it's kind of Tuesday here during the day. There's people in and out. So we're blessed with the support, you know.
Stephen, as well as supplying orders to people with a huge range of products, many of them branded, you also have developed your own brand.
I suppose in terms of that, said it, the Bally clothing brand, as Martin alluded to earlier on, it kind of came through COVID where things were quiet on O'Reilly's side of the business, and a lot of people were wearing leisure wear and leggings and t-shirts and tops and hoodies, so we kind of diverted down that route. And over the course of the last 3 to 4 years, it's just grew really, really steady. I suppose this year, our eye was on the building here, and it probably took a little bit of a backseat, but now coming into 2026, we have some really, really nice clothing and concepts coming kind of to fruition now for probably autumn winter at this stage. But no, Bally's been really, really good. Again, you know, it's kind of myself, my wife, Martin, and it feels just that are heavily involved in Bally, and it kind of runs itself once we get the products right. But no, Bally's been good, aye, it definitely has.
And just tell us the range of products.
Look, it's predominantly a ladies' kind of brand. Well, you know, we wear it ourselves because we love it. Like, we do it, it's unisex, like, but, you know, I suppose it's mostly ladies that buy it. Maybe that's just a natural thing that ladies buy more than men. But I suppose we do a lot of hoodies, joggers, leggings, sports bras, t-shirts. You know, it's really a leisure brand more than a sports brand. And look, we're very fortunate. You know, we've got a lot of local support again through that. The product is good. You know, we bring it from all over the world.
And if people want to get an idea of it, they can find it on the website?
Absolutely. Look, it's just on ballyclothing.ie. You know, I suppose a lot of your local listeners have probably have heard of it before, and a number of them probably have bought it. And now we're online, and thankfully it's going well.
And finally, Martin, where do you see things going 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
Ah, look, you know what? I think we're very conscious of where we're at. But just as Stephen says, we just every day to do the best we can. And we've grown organically, as you say, without any investment, without any major business decisions, apart from this building that's going to be probably the foundation of our growth. But I think we're really planning, you know, in terms of going into the likes of the UK, massive market there, and expand around Ireland, because we're still, you know, if you go down to the likes of only for Temple Moor and Clonmel's really strong because of an office down there, but there's still huge parts of Ireland that are untouched as well. And just and the Brett, as you talk about the repeat customers, to not to forget about the local customers, to really look after them as well, and to continue to grow that way. And I think, you know, we don't have any major mad exciting plans. Like, we're just trying to get a breather after this huge effort to get into the building. And, you know, Stephen's wife there today, you asked some question about, you know, how much time, it's 7 days a week, and the amount of people that have made sacrifice to get where. I think it's time just to take a wee set, and then to go, obviously, like, the massive thing, Chris, that we'd really want to go after now is, you know, the GAA license to make official GAA jerseys. We put a huge effort into that. It's going to be up for tender fairly soon. We have everything in place, so hopefully we'll be in a position to get that, that'll allow us to make match jerseys as well for that.
And just on that, that there's the criteria is the jerseys must be made in Ireland.
Well, it's actually recently changed to made in Europe, but ultimately they need to be able to satisfy like a 7-day turnaround. We've that there in place now. We've ticked a lot of the boxes, so obviously it's in the hands of the gods now, but we've certainly put our best foot forward.
Well, my thanks to Martin and Stephen O'Reilly for their hospitality and indeed the warm welcome and friendliness of all there when I dropped in. I'll certainly be watching the further development and expansion of their business with great interest. Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio. May I wish you a healthy, happy and profitable week ahead. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.